that. Was somebody six a few weeks ago?
Lisa.
Yeah.
It's striking how happily integrated Fionn is into the class, but it takes work. As the morning wears on, he begins stimming, a repetitive flapping of his hands that shows his concentration is flagging. With no fuss, though, one of his classmates hands him a crayon and he refocuses. This generation of Irish children will have a very different attitude to disability. But it's obvious it wouldn't be possible if the SNA wasn't there to keep Fionn's mind on the job at hand.
Niamh was looking for his croissant. Somebody else asked him for the rubber and he didn't give it to them and he passed it on. And I had said to him, you know, Niamh had asked you for that and you didn't give it to her. So now he's ignoring me because he doesn't like that either. He doesn't like somebody telling him that he's done something wrong. But we'll see how... Would you ignore it when you're talking to me? What's that? An astronaut.
By a quarter to one, Fionn needs time out in a room that the school have created for the 10 special needs children in its care. He works off a bit of excess energy bouncing on a trampoline. And then Helen rubs his joints and back with a plastic brush.
Now, will we give you a scoop? Right, where'll we start?
The transformation is quite profound. Where earlier he was getting distracted very easily, after 10 minutes time out, he is engaged and talking directly to me for the first time that day.
I'm not eating chocolate.
No, you don't go there anymore.
But the little boy... there's a little boy and he is going to do chocolate.
He gets a chance to go now, doesn't he?
Yes, everyone goes to do chocolate.
That's brilliant, isn't it, that they get a chance?
This school has 10 special needs children in 4 different classes, all of whom are attended to by 1.5 SNAs. Anything less and the education of the other children would be disrupted. The timeout has left Fionn better able to deal with playtime, an experience he used to find a bit scary, but not any longer.
There's actually no children running at the moment. He gets very over-anxious. The school rule is níl cead rith. You're not allowed to run. As you see, it's quite a steep path, so you're not allowed to run going down to the yard, and he tends to scream and get over-anxious if he sees people running. I'm a cead rith.
Níl, cead rith.
As we're walking, a classmate sidles up to Fionn and takes his hand into hers. It's an entirely unself-conscious display of friendship. In the yard, then, they run off to play in a small group. Just 5 months ago, Fionn was clinging to the fence throughout playtime and talking to no one. What will be your hopes for Fionn?
Whatever he ends up doing, he's going to do it brilliantly. I mean, the support system he has at home and hopefully the support system he has in primary school right through secondary school will see him through to third level and hopefully beyond that, you know.
You're really quite emotional about the opportunities that he's been afforded here.
I am, because I know there's so many other people out there. I know how lucky we are. I really and truly do. And I think at the end of the day, even if Fionn's resources are cut as time goes on, you know, that his hours are lessened, that he knows that there's people there for him and that there's a system in place, you know, even if it's limited, he knows that we're always going to be there. And I know the hardships that people are facing out there in terms of not having access to SNAs, not having access to being assessed, to early intervention. And, you know, that child is really just a credit to his parents and, I suppose, in a way,
the system when it works. Fionn is a poster child for what the system can achieve. But just outside the fence of the playground, watching Fionn and his friends, was a boy who couldn't join his classmates at playtime. He has mild autism, which wasn't diagnosed until after austerity cuts began. Getting the resources he needs from the state has proven a harder fight for his parents than for Fionn's. The contrast between the two boys and what you would imagine to be their very different futures couldn't be more stark. some came to this derelict cottage on the outskirts of Donabate in North Dublin. There was seasonal work available on some farms in the area, and the rest of the time they begged in Donabate or in Dublin city centre. Back in Romania, Mariora Rostas's parents decided to join their relatives in Donabate. The Rostases would have been far removed from those in the Roma community who live a life of luxury off the proceeds of begging. Dumitru was a horse dealer and not very successful. They had 15 children to support, including 18-year-old Mariora, the oldest girl. They were persuaded that coming to Ireland would be a good idea, but the reality when they got here must have seemed pretty grim. All the floors are just bare concrete. The wallpaper is coming off the walls in ribbons. There's no sign of any running water, no sanitation. You can smell the consequences of no sanitation. No electricity either, obviously. There's melted wax on all of the shelves. Presumably the only light they had in the evening was candles. And everywhere there's rotting, absolutely fetid-looking mattresses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, maybe 11 different mattresses. The people of Donabate remember the Rostases as a nuisance. Between 15 and 20 would descend on the town early every morning to get the train into Dublin to beg. Local shops were besieged, and though Drive Time could find no record of convictions for theft, store owners barred them from entry. Back in Romania, Mariora was looking after her younger brothers and sisters with money her parents sent from Ireland. Then she was believed to have been assaulted in an incident that Drive Time can obtain no more details on, other than that her leg may have been broken as a result. Her parents sent for her to come to Ireland for a rest. Life in Romania looking after her siblings would have to have been pretty tough, though, for conditions in the house in Donabate to seem like a rest. There's one room that's just a little bit neater than the others. More of an attempt to make it homely seems to have been made. A bed has been made by putting four school chairs together and a door on it and then a mattress on the door, so the bed is raised off the ground, unlike all of the other beds in the house. And there's a bit of baling twine strung between two hooks, and there's clothes hangers on it, sort of a rudimentary wardrobe. And then there's young girls' footwear, small sizes 4 or 5, arranged quite neatly underneath the bed. Trains come and trains go, but there is no air of bustle about Larissa Station in the centre of Athens. Austerity measures have hit the train system and the people who work for it very hard.
Η διαφορά ήταν πριν να ψηφιστούν τα μέτρα. Τώρα πλέον, όταν έχουμε χάσει το...
We have lost 50% of our purchasing power. When our wages have declined, when tomorrow is very hard, there is no point.
Το αύριο είναι δύσκολο, δεν έχει νόημα.
Everybody in the family of the woman running the pretzel stand outside the station used to work for the train company, but not any longer. How have things changed for you in the last year?
Things have changed a lot in the last 3 years. My husband no longer works, my children no longer work. I am the only one bringing money into the house any longer.
Things had to change because the company was enormously profligate. Before austerity, it was losing 3 million euro a day. Some drivers were paid up to 130,000 euro a year. At 13 billion euro, Hellenic Railways' debts were equivalent to 5% of Greece's GDP. The company was so bad at what it did that it would have been cheaper to take a taxi from Athens to Thessaloniki than to pay the real cost of transporting somebody by rail.
Σε ό,τι αφορά γενικότερα τα ελλείμματα της χώρας,
Ekaterini Vitu, the director of international relations at the new train company, is keen to stress how, by Greek standards, the axe has been wielded mercilessly.
The personnel, the number of people working for Trenose, has been reduced for 50%, first of all. Secondly, we have reduced the expenses in a dramatical, I could say, way.
Give me an example.
There are not overtimes for all the people working in Trenose. No overtimes.
Have there been salary cuts?
We have a reduction of our salaries for 30 to 35%.
So in real terms, when you take overtime out, when you take 30 to 35% of basic pay away...
About 45%.
Of a salary reduction for all staff?
Yes, all staff.
In addition to increased taxes then, would it be the case that train workers have, in the space of a year, lost a half their income?
Yes, we have lost about the half of our income.
That must be pretty hard to bear.
It is hard, but we have to make efforts in order to save the country.
Σε δύο λεπτά από την πρώτη γραμμή θα αναχωρήσει ο αξιοστοιχείο 384.
Akis Margaritis works the information desk at Larissa train station and makes the station announcements. While €130,000 salaries for drivers justifiably made headlines, they are not representative of the pain that people like him are now enduring.
In the last 12 months, we've suffered loss of income of about 47%. To put it plainly, we're getting between 2,000 and 2,100 a month. That includes all additional payments like overtime, holidays, weekends, night shift. Because the work that we do here never stops, it's going every day. 365 days per year. And now we're down to getting 1,100 or 1,200 per month.
The times I would like to buy things that I can't buy.
Like what?
Like a jar of coffee. You know what I mean? Like everyone likes a coffee in the morning. So it's just simple things like that.
So coffee is a luxury that you can no longer afford. And we're not talking about anything other than a jar of instant coffee, are we?
Just a jar of instant coffee.
35% of those living on low incomes experienced food deprivation last year. Jacqueline brought me grocery shopping in her local supermarket. And as you walk along an aisle like this, what are the things that you kind of would like to buy but you have to deny yourself?
Okay, well, cheese.
No cheese?
No cheese. I don't put cheese in my weekly shopping.
No cheese ever?
No cheese, no.
Go on, what else?
So yogurts I wouldn't put into the weekly shopping. Cakes, pastries, anything like that, no. Juices.
Well, there's the ice cream aisle. I presume we could just walk straight by that.
Yeah, that just doesn't go into the weekly shopping. Which I have to be very scarce with. So, like, if I'm buying butter, I've got to use it wisely.
Do you ever arrive at the checkout and find yourself having to send stuff back?
Loads of times.
What's that
like? Any mum in Ireland will tell you they have to do that. It's embarrassing. But, you know, it's part of life. We are living in dark times and we just have to do with what we have, you know, make the most of it.
If I take €2.50 out of each weekly shop now, a tenner a month, what'll that mean?
It means a lot because you've got to go and look for that €10 somewhere else. And where I have to always make the minus is in the food shopping bill. I have to take it from my shopping bill. I have no choice whatsoever.
What are you buying today that you probably won't be able to buy in 2 weeks' time?
I'll probably limit in regards with butter, what butter I'd put into the trolley. The same with milk. You know, I'd have to be a little bit more wise.
You'd cut down on a 4-year-old's milk?
I have done so in the past, yes. I mean, these are real dark times. And I'm a working mum with a lot of other working mums, and they're in the same situation. Like, I'm not the only one out there.
No, honey, you can't have a glass of milk. What does it do to you to say that?
Well, it's not there for him to see. You know, so, he gets porridge, and, so it's just, say, if he did really want Weetabix, like, Weetabix are a treat to him.
Weetabix is a treat?
Yeah.
And he thinks of it as a treat?
Yeah, he knows it's a treat. Well, he's a very clever boy, and he does understand, you know, and I do explain to him, I tell him how it is, you know. You know, I'm not in politics, so I'm not going to tell him loads of lies and a lot of bull that the politicians told us before we voted them in.
There are 92,300 people receiving the one-parent family payment at a cost of €1.1 billion to the state. 93% of them are women. You know the image that people have of lone parents and why people would choose to have a child by themselves. What do you think of that image? What do you say to those people?
All I can say is anyone that goes out to have a kid in order to receive state benefits would soon realise within a couple of months that they've made the biggest mistakes of their lives.
Before the financial crisis started, Ireland's national debt stood at €38 billion. By the end of that year, following the guarantee and the first rounds of emergency capitalisation, €38 billion had become €50 billion. Halfway through 2009, the sum had ballooned to €65 billion as the scale of the problems being hidden by the banks became clearer. But the year ended with another €10 billion being added to the bill, which, as 2010 started, stood at €75 billion. The transfer of bank debt to NAMA debt throughout that year spiralled the figure towards €93 billion. And in the last year, as new management at Anglo finally reached a bottom line figure for bad debt there, we arrived at €119 billion. In 3 years, we have tripled the debt. We're repaying this debt in two different ways. As bonds sold by the old Anglo mature, we pay back those bondholders. The next maturity falls due next Wednesday.
The next payment arising is €1.25 billion of an unsecured bond that is due for repayment next week, next Wednesday, January the 25th.
And we still have about €5 billion worth of those bonds that we are promising to make good on. The other way we're whittling down the Anglo nationwide debt is by making good on promissory notes. The taxpayer gives money to the new Anglo, IBRC. IBRC gives the money to the central bank, and the central bank gives it to the European Central Bank. We will have to keep on paying out on these promissory notes as things stand until 2031, by which time we will have paid Anglo's €30.6 billion debt. But you have to add €16.8 billion in interest to that. That's €47.9 billion in promissory notes. But we don't have that cash, so we'll have to borrow it. The interest on that loan could bring the total to as high as €85 billion. €85 billion still to be paid between now and 2031. Do a quick bit of division on that. That is €4.25 billion a year, every year for 20 years. Starting with €3.1 billion in March.
But if you look at it in a more, slightly more manageable, it's not as if €3.1 billion is a small number, but €3.1 billion, the amount that's going on the promissory note at the end of March, that could fund the entire primary school system in Ireland this year, or it could fund the rollout of a new generation broadband network for the whole country. So these are enormous figures.
In the time that it has taken you to listen to this report, our national debt has grown by another €140,000.